he said, beckoning to her. Fieldmaster, where is this keep? Daniil will program the coordinates for you. Telcam walked away. Take one of the phantoms. The least equipped one, mind you. But I want a human alive and well. No foolish mistakes with the locals. His name is Phyllis. Raia followed Forze through the ranks of rebels and vessels that were assembling in even greater numbers on the lowland facing Vadam Keep. Look at that, he said. It still worries me when we assemble too many assets in one place. But who's left to take advantage of our vulnerability? Nobody. It looked as if half the keeps in the Northern Hemisphere had sent a few warriors and a vessel of some kind. There were now so many packed in the coastal strip between the keep and the sea that Raia felt she'd walked several kilometers simply to pass through them and reach the phantoms. Jules had said that keeps had commandeered ships and hardware when the Covenant collapsed, but this was the first time that she had fully understood how much had been spirited away. Much of it was battered and looked poorly maintained without the Huragok to take care of it. But it was almost as if the great righteous army had come together again. We can do this. We have far to go, but we can become a powerful nation again. We can relearn what it means to be great. For a moment, she wished she had brought her young sons to see this. The sight of all those vessels and warriors, however down at heel, however divided they were by petty domestic feuds, was as eloquent a lesson in nationhood as any long speech that Uncle Naxan could have given them. This human must be very important, she said. Ah, politics. Forze shook his head. Just another worm. This must be the one Burren said they had taken to the temple. There must be a very special ransom for him. The human didn't matter at all. Can you fly a phantom? Of course I can. It's only a dropship. But I can't operate its weapons. Raia could see it clearly now, a curved and polished blue hull like a squat insect. Will we need them? It's simply a plasma cannon, Forze said. Leave all that to me, as if we'll need it against farmers. He sounded very casual, but then he was used to cruisers and battles involving entire fleets. This was a minor diversion for him. Daniil met him at the ramp. The phantom assigned to them wasn't the one she'd been looking at, but its less glamorous twin, short on polish and the worse for wear. Only one of the side-mounted cannons works, Daniil said. No heavy cannon either. Let's hope the farmers have no large rocks, then, Forze said. He ushered Raia to the cockpit. Touch nothing, even if it doesn't work. In the last day, she had forced her way onto a warship, survived a crash landing under fire, and watched the beginning of the end for Tel Vadam. Now she was sitting in the cockpit of a phantom, preparing to collect an alien, an enemy that had fought the Covenant for an entire generation. It would be hard to look the creature in the eye and not want to kill it. Have you ever met a human, Forze? She asked as the dropship lifted off. The drives sounded irregular. She could describe it no other way. Have you touched one? A live one, that is. Forze rocked his head from side to side in a shrug.
Only from a great distance. They're very small. When they take their helmets off, they have these strange, flat faces that look as if something has been cut off them. Horrible, Raia said.
And this one speaks Sangeli. Do they all?
No. It's too difficult for their little animal brains. Some warriors had to learn their language simply to insult them properly.
So this Phyllis creature was unusual. Raya was curious. It would be something to tell Jules about when she'd found him and brought him home. Another way of showing him that she finally understood his world and would be more understanding in the future of what drove him.
"Don't get too comfortable," Forze said.
The sea churned beneath them as they crossed the coast at Vadam Harbor, completely deserted today.
"We'll be over Akroli before you know it."
UNSC Tartcart, searching the Ontom coast, Sangelius. "Got him," Bibi said. "Got him, got him, got him." His blue box did a flip and a twirl in the middle of the cramped crew bay, catching Mal's shoulder. It was weird, not only because it didn't feel of anything, but because BB was too precisely controlled to misjudge a movement even with his hologram. All heads turned. Devereaux made a yee-haw noise. "Where?" Mal couldn't see anything on the recon display. The dropship was skimming low over the deserted shoreline, just in case Phillips had decided to wait it out in the least populated open ground. But even on the thermal screen, nothing showed up except some kind of four-legged eels, basking at the water's edge and slapping their tails. "Alive, yeah?" "He's just shown up to keep in a Crowley, and they've called Telcam to pick him up."
"Better get there before the mad monk does, then."
Mal slapped the bulkhead. "A Crowley, Dev, and don't spare the horses."
"Where is it?"
"Here's the coordinates," BB said. The dropship banked and swung out to sea. "Leanne, you'll probably want to fix your hair before we pick him up."
"What's he doing in a Crowley?" Devereaux asked, ignoring the jibe. "That's 80 clicks away."
"Portal!"